Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Take Off with John Clark, presented by Rivers Casino. And we have some special guests, two of the most electrifying, exciting players in Philadelphia Eagles history. And they've got a podcast together. How about that? Let's welcome in LeSean McCoy and DeSean Jackson. It is good to see both of you again.
Yes, sir. Great to see you too, John. How you doing, brother?
Good to see you too.
Good seeing you, John. Hey, you did pretty good with the intro. Normally people, when they say DeSean and LeSean, it's like a tongue twister. Sounds pretty good, brother.
I worked on it. I mean, we've had like 15 years because you guys have been in Philadelphia. So we've been working on that. How about the new podcast? Congratulations. It is the 2510 show. Now Shady's number gets top billing here. Is that just because it sounds better?
Yeah, you know, I gave him the credibility of, you know, I'm the big bro, big homie. So I just like, you know what, man? Let my boy get the name. Yeah, no, I feel like it flew better with, you know, 2510, though, for sure.
Yeah, he's older than me, though, so he gave me the nod, you know? It's my guy right there, you know?
Yeah. Well, it is so cool to see you guys together. I want to ask you, how do you guys now work together on a podcast? It's one thing when you're on the Eagles together and you've got a coach, everybody sets the schedule, everybody has the plays, and you learn them. What is it like working together, organizing everything for this podcast together?
Man, it's a headache, man. This dude ain't got no better. I just was telling you, we're supposed to change roles, revert. Like, you know, we're both supposed to be on time, ready to go, playbook in hand. It's like this dude wants to revert back to be the old D-Jack when it's like not on time, not scheduling, staying on time. Like, you know what I'm saying? I'm like, bro, what are we doing? You know, I'm trying to be the good guy now because, you know, I'm mature. I'm doing things the right way. And this guy want to revert back to the old D-Jack ways. Man, I don't know what's up with that dude. John, get on him, man.
You know what it is? Because for the podcast, 2510. Our biggest thing is being authentic. And the most authentic DeSean Jackson I know is a little rough around the edges. It's a little hard-headed. And that's what I need to get out of you. So that's why our numbers are doing so well and so quick, because I'm getting a real DeSean Jackson, not this polished old man.
See, this is hilarious because DeSean is starting to sound like Andy Reid or something like that, like a coach.
I am, man. I'm Coach Jack. You know, I coach now, too, man. I coach to you. But, yeah, I'm coaching now, man. I'm a high school football coach. So, you know, address me as Coach Jack, man. That's my name now. So, you know, I got to get on them young kids, you know. And, it's in me, man, because, you know, I feel like when I was playing, man, I was so ahead of the game. I feel like I was very in tune. Even though people say I ain't work hard, you know, I was very in tune with the skill set, man. And it was things I did that a lot of people never really saw. Like, I trained very hard in the offseason. I know McCoy probably would say I didn't, but, you know, I did.
Hey, I saw some of those videos, Shady.
Yo, wait. I can't see. This is why I love our podcast, because we know each other so well, you know? I remember so I'm younger than DeSean. So when I got there, he was already arrived, right? He had a big name. He wasn't, like, superstar yet. But my first year was his second year where he really took off. All right, this like DeSean Jackson, punt returns, throwing bombs. He was DJ. So I'm like, damn, I want to train with the best. He's on my team. I go train with him one time. This was the coolest freaking workout I've ever had. I mean, I don't even know if I was sweating at all. So I'm thinking, like, and all my friends and people like, yo, man, how is DeSean so good? He probably trained so hard. And I never would tell because it's my boy. I'm like, I want to say, no, that's God-given. Look, the funny thing is he put on the workout gloves on, right? He get the Rocky Balboa headband. Like, he about to really do something. We get in there, we looking at the weights, he ain't doing them. We do a little running. But anyway, the type of player he talks about the other things, like falling in love with the game, being a competitor. One of the best things about D-Jack that I've learned from other players that they don't be having is Deshaun's a crazy competitor, right? At 5'10", whatever, how big he is, don't matter. He's going to compete like he's 6'6". So that's why we always had a great relationship, because I'm the same way.
Yeah, and by the way, the key is to always look like you're working out hard with the headband and everything. That's the key, is to look like you're working out hard.
To look the part. You got to look the part.
And by the way, but Deshaun,
once I seen that, he got success without lifting weights, I stopped working out. Like,
see, that's interesting you say that, because I remember Allen Iverson's press conference, and he kept, you know, the practice press conference. One of the things he said is, what do you want me to do? Work out all day and look all swole? He says, I don't mess around with those weights. He was naturally fast. I mean, I always thought you, Deshaun, were like AI. You could wake up out of bed and be the fastest guy on the field.
That's true.
Yeah, but see, you know what's crazy, John? I feel like that kind of I don't want to say it like that, but it kind of bit me in the, you know what, later on in my career, because I felt like I wasn't stretching. I wasn't like warming up properly. And then the older I got, I just start feeling like my muscles and my body tightening up a little more. So it's like, man, if I would have did it, like not worked out, but like, you know, stretched and like warmed up a little better, I would have probably, even though I played 15 years, I probably would have been able to play a little longer. Like I would have probably been able to play like LeBron still at like 40. And I honestly still feel like I can play right now in the league. Like, I can still take the top off. I'm still fast. I ain't gonna say I ain't lost a step, but like, if I lost a step, I ain't lost that much of a step.
Yeah. And do you guys kind of agree with what Michael Jordan always said, that if you could have the things you learned in your career and your life at the age of 37, when you have all that knowledge and impart it into that kid that was coming into the NFL?
Definitely. You go ahead, McCoy.
No, I mean, just to piggyback, like I said, one of my good friends is Frank Gore, right? And big name, third leading rusher of all time, right? And I would train with him. And I'm like, damn, this dude is like, we would do like workouts together. And in my opinion, I thought he couldn't touch me in the drills. Like, I'm coming from Vegas on a Saturday, you know, a red eye. I get home Sunday. And we were training Monday. I'm still tired, but when we were training, like, there's no, you can't compete with me. But I was like, how is he so much better in his career than I am? And it hit me. The more I would train with him, he's consistent. He's taking care of his body. He watches what he's eating. He got a chef. He got this. He got that. He's always working on his body. He's always getting better. And that's something I didn't do. So when you talk about adding maybe 2-3 years on your career at a high level, I probably could have did that if I'd have trained a lot differently.
Yeah, it's hard to know that. And so when you look at the NFL these days and you look at the moves the Eagles made, you guys had some prolific offenses. How about this offense on paper with Jalen Hurts, Dallas Goedert, then the great receivers, A.J. Brown, Devontae Smith, adding Saquon Barkley on paper? Could this be arguably the most prolific Eagles offense ever in history?
I think so. I truly do. Mm. I think that depending on how Jalen Hurts plays, though, because
I don't know. You can't just put him that. I mean, you know, we had an older Vic, though. So, I mean, I think the older Vic even still came in. We had like in 2010, 2013, like we still have some years, like, you know, 2011, 2012, we can't really speak for them. But like 2010, 2010, when we first signed him. And then 2013, Chip Kelly's first year, like when he was the coach, like we still statistically had some great years. Now, we didn't make it to the Super Bowl, and, you know, we didn't surpass what we thought we could do. But, I mean, I definitely feel like they have a edge, but we wasn't too far off. Like, no, you know what I'm saying? Like, we was right there. We definitely competed. And now, like we just spoke on earlier, too, McCoy, the game has changed so much now. Offenses in the league, all these new rules, you know, how much they're throwing the ball more. Like, even Saquon Barkley, like, I feel like he's a good running back, but he doesn't probably get the ball as much as he deserves to from the running back position. You know, they throw him the ball a little bit here and there too. So I think the game's just changed so complex now.
Yeah. And I would say to add on to it, their defenses, what they had, especially the football year, was really, really good. You know, yeah, you could talk about the A.J. Browns, who's a phenomenal player, probably the best offensive weapon on the team. You added Saquon Barkley, who's phenomenal. I think we'll get to see how good Saquon really is now with this good offensive line. But the big difference, I think, from when we played so now is the defense wasn't that good. So we had to always put points up, always. If you look at the Eagles and the stretch they have these players, they be doing well, but they kind of sometimes they stall out. But the defense bails them out. They're getting the ball more. They get more opportunities. Like all the little small things you don't think about. And I think if we'd have had that type of defense, They had the third most sacks in the NFL history. We had that over there. You know what we'd have been doing?
Yeah. Yeah.
Come on.
So owner Jeff,
I do love the offense. We love,
love what they're doing, though. You know, we as older players, as players has been there and, you know, knows what it's like. I mean, we commend them. We're supportive of them. We're not like the older guys just hates on the young guys. We don't want to see them do well. Like, we love that. Like, as you see McCoy, he's on Fox, you know, last year and the year before when they was doing good. You know, McCoy, the first one on there talking stuff about his Eagles and vice versa. I'm the same way. Like, we go out, we talk to other dudes. You know, we talk to Sproles. We all talk. We talk to Deuce Staley. Like, we got a great relationship. And, like, when the Eagles doing good, even Big Red get happy for the Eagles doing good. You know what I'm saying? It's coming from Philly. It's Philly.
Right, right, yeah. Hey, look, real quick. I asked, me and Deshaun, we hype with Big Red. So, he's gonna come on the podcast eventually, but we be talking. I said, Big Red, man, hey. I said, now, you about to play the Eagles championship now. Don't be hugging Howie Roseman too tight now. Y'all got a game to play, right? You know what he said? He said, believe me, I won't. It's a lot more years to talk about that. I said, okay, don't win the game then. So it's always fun.
You know, it is wild that you mentioned that about Philly, because Fletcher Cox, the last couple of years, he kind of looked elsewhere, but he signed one-year deals because he says he talked to other guys who left Philadelphia and left the Eagles and went somewhere else. And they said it's not the same other places. Did you find that Philadelphia is a uniquely special place?
Yeah, I would say so. You know, I had a chance to talk to Fletcher Cox. And at the time, we was at Vinnie Curry's wedding. And he was up and down with the contract. He thought he was leaving. He thought he was going to the Chargers. Asked him this about one time. He talked to him. And he said, changed my mind, man. Philadelphia is a special place. I've been to different places, man. And, like, I didn't know how special Philadelphia was until I really left, right? The people there, the city. I love how the fans are authentic. They support you all the time, good or bad, but they let you know it's real things. When Brian Westbrook left and I became like the guy, he said, always love Philly, bro. He says, I'm with the Niners and this place is so dysfunctional. And then when I left Philly, I said, I know what you're talking about. So Philadelphia is always a special place for me, for sure.
Hey, celebrity cook Steve Martorano is bringing his Italian-American cooking back home to Philly, where it started. Enjoy Martorano's Prime at Rivers Casino and Steve's famous meatballs with Sunday gravy, prime steaks, and more. So make reservations for Martorano's Prime on Open Table. I've been to the one in Fort Lauderdale. I'm glad it's back in Philly. And it's cool because Jeff Lurie, the owner, spoke at the owners' meetings. And number one about you, Shady, he said, you know, that narrative that they don't pay for running backs, like when they have a special running back that also happens to be a pass attack running back, that's what they want. And he mentioned you and Brian Westbrook. So now you have Saquon Barkley coming here. If you were to look at your career and his career, where it's going, how would you compare yourself to Saquon Barkley? Who's better?
Well, first of all, Mr. Lurie is right. I've never had a year where I wasn't a top three or top five highest paid running back. So we never had them issues ever. You know what I mean? I think all time, like, what, fifth or sixth highest paid running backs? I mean, and then the question with Saquon, I don't really, you know what, though? At this level, man, like, I'm learning that it don't really matter who's better. I'm nice, and he's nice, right? If he surpasses me or he don't, that don't take nothing from how good he is. So I think he's a phenomenal player. I've been loving him since college. We got a golf event coming up, Pittsburgh versus Penn State. So I'm a big fan of Saquon. I don't really get into that like I used to. I will say this, though. I'm a bad mother effer, and everybody know it. You know what I mean? So I don't need to compare who's better. I'm cheering for him. I'm going to have 26 jersey on, and I'm rooting for him. I want him to ball out.
Is that the same way you are, Deshaun, when you look at your incredible career and then you see a guy like A.J. Brown, but maybe a guy like Devontae Smith, a little undersized, thin, and he's doing his thing in the NFL?
Yeah, I mean, for me, I love to see it, man. I root for these guys, and, you know, I'm a firm believer, you know, without the past, there's no future, you know what I'm saying? Like, I feel that's like true. People before me, you know, laid the way for me, you know? So for me, I'm very respectful, and me and McCoy get into it all the time just about talking about older guys and, you know, just our competitive nature, like how we are, how we're, you know, we're tunneled to be so much, I'm the best, can't nobody mess with me. You know, I'm working so hard at this and that and the third. But at the end of the day, you have to set the example for the youth, for the guys that's coming after you. You know what I'm saying? Because before me, there was somebody I looked up to, the Jerry Rices, the Randy Mosses. So for me, I would feel like I didn't accomplish and I didn't do something right if you don't have the A.J. Browns, the Devontae Smiths to come in and to shatter records. Or, you know, like Devontae got my record last year and it was like, yeah, I was happy for him. But at the same time, it's like you had an extra game, you know, so that's the competitive nature. But at the same time, man, I love it, bro. And, you know, like McCoy just said, I feel like I'm one of a kind. You know what I'm saying? That's why I had to tag one of one, because, you know, what I was able to do in the NFL, no other receiver and no other player has been able to do. So for me, you know, I congratulate them, man. I want to see them continue to raise the bar, because what they're doing now, obviously we wasn't doing. We wasn't making the money that they're making now. So at the end of the day, I love to see it, man. I'm congratulating these dudes, bro.
Yeah, and Paris Campbell, the new Eagles receiver, he actually said that being teammates with Saquon Barkley, he believes Saquon is the best running back in the NFL, better than Christian McCaffrey. So I'll put that question to you.
I don't know. That's pushing a little bit. The only reason why I'm going to say that is because Christian McCaffrey, you know, he was coming off of a down year before he was traded. You know, the stats wasn't really as up there as they are since the past 2 years since he's been in San Francisco. And I credit a lot of that too to Kyle Shanahan, you know, in the offense they have, you know, Brock Purdy, you know, they do a lot of great things. Now, Saquon Barkley has the talent and potential to be that. But statistically, we need to see it. You know, I think he can be that guy, but we can't just take away from what Christian McCaffrey has done the past 2 years, because he's off the charts, man. He's balling.
Yeah. I agree. But LeSean, when you look at that, look at the amount of the talent on offense that Christian McCaffrey has had around him, and Saquon hasn't had anything.
Yeah, and I think that's the big difference. I think we'll see this year, because now you have a good offensive line. You got great wide receivers. It's funny when you go to a team where you used to always being the best player, mm-hmm. and you got to perform, and it depends on you. Now,
Other great players around them.
Yeah, now, because everybody think what they want. But I think AJ is probably still the best player on the offense, if you ask me. Mm-hmm. So now it's like, okay, well, if I'm not – if AJ's getting all his attention, now they're going to give me an 8-man box, 7-man box? Think about that. 6-man box? Give him a 6-man. He's going to kill that. So now I think he is so excited to have the players around him where when you say – when Paris say things like that, he can back it up now. Now I'm on an even playing field. Now I can show you how good I really am. Because Chris McCaffrey has all the guys around him as well. So I love to see it. I like when these things happen, because now, like, you get to prove it, right? I think they're going to be a phenomenal offense. They get to prove it now. So we'll see.
And do you think with the way the NFL is going, you see most defenses playing back? They don't want to give up a big play. Two safeties back.
I was going to you know, kind of jump in and interact on that as well, too. And this is something else, too, McCoy, as far as what makes this very challenging, the opponent's defense. Like, now, you can't, for one, you can't double. If you double-team AJ, you have Devontae. You know what I'm saying? And not only that, you have Dallas. Not only that, now you have Saquon. So for the opponent defense to come in every Sunday and have to deal with that, pick your poison. And now you have a running quarterback. Not only that, now you have Paris, who's a fast, quick twitch receiver. I mean, if I'm a defensive coordinator preparing for this offense, this sets up Saquon, like, bro, the ball's in your hand now. You can't have a bad year. You have everything is projecting this to be an awesome year for Saquon. Now, if you don't have a great year, this is tough.
Yeah. See, I think now he got the money, he got the team, so no excuses. But this is my question to y'all, though. The 2 years that I watched the Eagles, the last 2 years, right? Super Bowl run and his last run. At the end, it got bad. Do you want to make this team a pass team first or a run team first? I want to hear what y'all say.
It's a great question. I'll ask you, Deshaun, because, by the way, you know Eagles owner Jeff Lurie, he likes to see the passing attack. And that's what the NFL is now. And they hire coaches for their passing attack acumen.
I would say this first and foremost. This is a passing first offense, but you have to implement the run. I don't feel like they was loyal enough to the run game. When you have those type of playmakers on the outside, you have to commit to a run fit offense. It can be 60-40, 70-30. 65-35, but you need to commit to a run game. If you don't commit to a run game, I'm just going to set my safeties back and I'm going to, you know, key in on these two receivers. And so for me, I feel like you have to put your foot down. You have to head down mentality. You have to focus on the run as well, too. You can't get into a game where you're throwing the ball so much and you're not staying consistent to the run. So I would like to say, yes, we can have pass more, but we need that. Now we have Saquon. We have to put that ball in his hand a lot more than coming to the game and just pass. Like, no, we have to kind of like even it up a little bit.
What you say, John, before I answer, I want to hear what you got to say.
I totally agree with you, but I think this is the perfect offense because it's so complete that you can literally see the way the defense is going to play you and then play to your strength. So like you said, if there's the two safeties back, they're playing deep. Okay, we're going to run the ball all day on you. But that safety comes up, like you said, you're going to have one-on-one matchups. So I think it's you dictate what you want to do to the defense based on what they're playing.
Oh, and before McCoy, let me just interact one time too. We have to remember what we're dealing with AJ Brown and you know, not too much with Devontae, because AJ, he want that damn ball. So we got to keep that in mind too. You got to feed your playmakers, man. So it's only one ball to go around too.
This is the thing. See, this is my take on it, because when I look at the Eagles offense, right, especially last year, I feel like once they paid Jalen, like, everything kind of ran through them. And that's not what got us to the Super Bowl, right? We were a run first team. If you really noticed the Super Bowl run, when they got in trouble, they didn't throw the ball more, did they? They ran the ball. Last year, early in the year, when they were struggling, but they were still winning, when they got in trouble, what did they do? They ran the ball. They were swift. The Chiefs game, right? They couldn't get nothing sparking. What did they do? They came out, started giving him reverses, or not the speed sweeps. They started running the ball. So now when I look at it, it's like I feel like what made us fall in love with Jalen Hurts was he's a winner, right? Mm-hmm. And then since he got the money, it's like now we want to make him put the game in his hands all the time. And I'm like, we don't need to do that. So when I ask y'all this, now we got Saquon, we got to go off his line. Let's run the ball first. Let's start this offense. We're going to run the ball first. And then we're going to start throwing it the same way we did the Super Bowl run. You talked about A.J. Brown, who's one of my favorite young dudes. He's going to get busy because he did it before he got busy when they ran the ball first. I just think that if they're going to be a good team, because the defense is not going to be that great. Let's just be honest. They letting guys go. Last year, they won tackling, and they didn't add a lot to the defense. They added to the offense. So all I'm saying is, let's go through the running game first, and let's find A.J. next. And let's get Devontae to rock. But we got to start with Saquon Barkley.
I love it. And it's funny, LaShawn, that you bring that up. This is the great conversation you're going to hear on 2510 show, by the way, the podcast. Listen to it wherever you listen to your podcast. I remember having Brian Westbrook on, and he said, just as a reminder to the head coaches the night before big games, he would be in the hotel room, and he would call the coaches, and he would call them. They'd answer the phone, and he'd just say, run the ball, and he'd hang up. Did you ever remind your coaches all the time, don't forget about Shady, run the ball?
When I left Philly, I did, right? Now I'm a big name, so I have more voice. Andy wasn't hearing that. Andy Reid told me one time, we was just joking. I said, Coach, I mean, they say I'm the best running back in football. Like, you don't think I need more carries? Could we be joking? He said, Shady, you can't go to heaven if you run the ball too much. You know what I'm saying? So I would try to joke with it, but
hey, as a receivers, man, you got some dogs at receivers over there, man. I don't think they want to hear run the ball first.
They did the first year.
No, I get you, but I'm just saying, if you ask Devontae and you ask AJ, or do they want it to be a run first fit? I think they're gonna say let's balance it up.
But you know why I'm saying that, Jack? What I'm saying is because
I get it. I agree.
Like, if we had it, okay, I'll give you an example.
It shouldn't all be on Jalen Hurts to win the game. I get it. 100%.
But I'm saying, like there's certain quarterbacks, right, that if Patrick Mahomes throws the ball 40, 50 times, nobody likes it, but I'm okay with that. If Joe Burrow want to throw the ball 40 times, I'm all right with that, though.
You ain't okay if Jalen trying to throw that, though.
I don't want for us to be successful, I don't want him to throw the ball 40, 50 times because he can throw, but he can run too. You get what I'm saying?
Yeah, and then you
make the defense have to guess more, right? RPOs or, you know, like Michael Vick, right? Michael Vick was phenomenal. I don't think we've seen a quarterback for the Eagles so far that throws the ball better than Vick, right? Let's be honest. Yeah. I mean, that was good, but I think throwing it, you know better than anybody. But I didn't want Michael Vick, for us to be successful, Mike can't throw for 40, 50 times. Because something, right? We ain't going to win like that. I play the same with the Eagles now. It's like, we're
certain
not going to win.
Certain quarterbacks, not, that's not their style of play.
I'm saying, come on.
Yeah.
He's never been that style of play, though. Like, if we,
and we don't want that. We don't want that. We want to win. Yeah. We don't want that.
Yeah. I'll tell you, this is the kind of stuff you're going to get on the 25-10 show. I'm loving it. I'm loving this good conversation. And let me ask you about that defensive side of the ball, because look, I understand the Eagles.
Oh, ask him. I can't talk about him. Ask him.
I hear you, man. But like, you know how it is. The Eagles have done the same thing for many, many years. At some point, they want to get a younger, cheaper version and get younger. So the Hassan Reddick trade, I still can't wrap my head around it, because he was arguably, him and Fletcher Cox, maybe the best defensive players last year. Obviously, he wanted more money. He's turning 30. They didn't want to give him more money. But do you think it's a mistake that they traded Hassan Reddick away? Or do you think there's something we don't know? Like, they see a little bit of slippage in his player. Vic Fangio doesn't think he's a fit.
Yeah, I think it is a mistake. And this is the reason why I say it's a mistake. Hassan Reddick alone is a wrecker. He gets to the quarterback. He's able to affect the edge. You know what I'm saying? He stays in his gaps. And for me, I look at that as a player, as his perspective. Why do you let him go to the Jets when you can just take care of him? He's been there for you. When you needed him, he's there for you. So reward the guy. I don't like, and I don't want to challenge Howie, because I know how he's one of the best to do it. But I don't like it when these players put it on the line. They're been there. They're loyal for you. They're giving production. And then it comes down to a couple million dollars where we can't figure it out in a contract. And it's like, oh, we got to trade them off and we bring somebody in, like the Huff kid. And it's like, am I going to project Huff to be what Hassan Reddick was? I mean, yeah, he's younger. Yeah, he might have a little more longevity. He may be able to be a little more fresher. But at the end of the day, if I know I have that production from an older guy that's been loyal and been playing for me at a high level, let me just reward him. Maybe it might not be as long of a deal, but maybe I get a two-year deal and take care of him where I know these next 2 years, I'm going to get the production that I need. Now it's like you're almost hoping that this young guy comes in and gives me the production that I knew Hassan Reddick obviously was. And that's my take on that.
So this is my issue. And we talked about it a little bit earlier, John. It's like, okay, so Hassan Reddick, a hell of a pass rusher, right? Every team he goes to, he balls out. If it's the Cardinals, if it's the Panthers, he gonna give you them sacks, right? And I think about this. So DeSean Jackson was a phenomenal player. His first years, he was with the Eagles. In the second contract, you knew they were gonna sign him back. Shady McCoy, you knew he was gonna sign me back. My second contract. I look at the Jets. Young pass rusher, right? They're trying to build some special over there. He's going to a second contract. Why didn't they pay him there? So when I seen that, I said, yo, it was a red flag. You got a younger player. You're going to trade to get an older pass rusher and pay him more? That didn't add up for me. So now I got to look at Huff this year. I got to see how good he really is, because the team that sees you every day, on your best day, on your worst day, at practice, at the games, they see how you watch film. They see everything about you. And they don't sign you. And you go to the Philadelphia Eagles, and this didn't add up for me. So I got to see how good he really is, because I know how good Hassan Reddick really is.
Yeah, great points by both of you guys. And that is, it's kind of like your situations. When you were traded, LeSean, and DeSean, you left. I mean, you always say, if you have good players, keep them. You're not in the business of giving away good players. And that's my bottom line. This is one I don't get. They usually make the right decisions about getting younger. But let me ask you this, because it's fascinating with Jason Kelce and Fletcher Cox retiring. So there's arguments. Of course, I think Jason Kelce is a Hall of Famer. There's arguments that Fletcher Cox could be a Hall of Famer. And when I look at you, I believe, LeSean, you're eligible in 2 years. You have Hall of Fame credentials. DeSean Jackson, you have the most 60-yard touchdowns in NFL history, the biggest deep threat in NFL history.
Biggest.
Do you guys feel right now that you are Pro Football Hall of Famers?
McCoy.
Absolutely. When I look at the guys that are on the Hall of Fame, right? Especially the running backs, especially the last ones that just went in, you can't tell me that they're better than me, right? Then we go to the numbers part of it, though. The numbers you need, I got. You know, from all pros to pro bowls to all decade team, like anything you want to talk about, rushing titles, I got all that, right? And my whole career, I didn't have DeSean Jackson all the time, right? With some of these other guys, they got all these great players around them, right? I was just making this comparison with man, Frank Gore was talking. He was like, I knew you was super talented, but I didn't know how good you really was until you went to Buffalo. And you was doing the same thing with nobody over there. Edgerrin James has gotten to the Hall of Fame, right? And I'm a big fan of Edge. He's one of the OGs that paved the way. But, I mean, if you look at his time, right, with the Colts, I mean, if you ask for the all-time Colts team of all-time history, that was his team. Quarterback, wide receiver, you know what I'm saying? And I'm like, well, damn. Doing all that with Buffalo is a way different thing. So if you're talking about Hall of Fame, I got the numbers, and you see my play, right? I got the credentials. It should be a no-brainer.
I love it. How about you, DeSean?
Yeah, I mean, honestly, I look at it as a, you know, when I step on the field, I was a game changer. And I think as far as, you know, the statistics, you know, me, like I said earlier, having 11,000 plus yards, obviously, you know, some of the records I have, no other player in NFL history, you know, has been able to do. It's just for me, I just feel like when you're a game changer and you go down in history as creating something or implementing something to the NFL, there's no deep threat to ever beat a DeSean Jackson before DeSean Jackson. And when I say a DeSean Jackson before DeSean Jackson, under 6 feet, no more than 175 pounds. To be able to play as a true wide receiver number one on the outside, I wasn't a slot receiver. You know, every team I always played on, I was a wide receiver number one. Regardless, even when I went to Tampa, we had a Mike Evans. I still was a wide receiver number one. The all them years in Philly, you know, me and Macklin. You know, even when I was in Washington, like had Pierre Garçon. Every team I always went to, I was always a wide receiver number one. And for me to play how I played at my height, I mean, come on, man. And the numbers I got, I mean, like you said, no player in NFL history has more 60-yard touchdowns than me. Only one player, Jerry Rice, has more 50-yard touchdowns than me. So, I mean, yeah, I got to. Come on, man. Now, as far as when I get in there, I don't know. But I'm going to do everything I can to keep pushing for it, man. Yeah. I feel like it's definitely deserving.
Well, I love it. And you know what's cool? It's like over these next couple of years with the 2510 show, your podcast, we can kind of see the guys that go into the Pro Football Hall of Fame and you can talk about it. And I think it's awesome because I do think there's a chance that both of you get into the Pro Football Hall of Fame. And DeSean, one thing I wanted to mention, I really hate that receivers like you don't get credit for pass interference yards. Because I remember that playoff game against the Saints at the link, right? Now, I don't think you had a ton of yards in that game against the Saints, that playoff game under Chip Kelly. But, man, you induced
two of them.
Pass interference penalties.
Big-time pass interference calls for they like 50-plus yards.
Yeah, they count the same as yardage for a catch. To me, I think they should change that rule. You should get credit for that.
Sure, man. Appreciate that, John. Man, it means a lot, bro.
Because it's your speed that caused the DB to interfere with you. So that should count as much as a catch. That's just something that's always bothered me. By the way, you mentioned Andy Reid. I want to ask you guys, because I thought it was really cool on your show or getting ready for your show, the 2510 show, when you called Andy Reid and you FaceTime him. And there's something special going on there with Andy Reid and you guys. So I want to ask you, though, what was the maddest he ever got at each of you? What was it for? Because Big Red, you know, he's fun. He lets you do what you want to do, and he lets you be yourself and let your personality out. But there's certain things, like he's going to get on you. Do you remember, like, maddest he ever got at
you? I think I probably trumped McCoy by 5-10 times. I mean, I think he got so mad at me. Andy Reid used to call me in his office and cuss me out. When I literally tell you, like, you know, I'm the young D-Jack. First 3, 4, or 5 years of my career, you know, I was doing some crazy things. So for me, I think the maddest, I can't even recall the most maddest he's got at me, but I definitely remember multiple times getting called into his office, him sitting me down. And like, that's why I really have a personal relationship with him, because I feel like he understood me. See, Coach Reid is from LA or from the California area. So he understood what I was going through, the temptations, me trying to help everybody from my neck of the woods. And like, he felt like that was overbearing or overweighing on me. And he knew, like, when I used to come to work, he knew I wasn't focused. He used to tell me, like, you're worrying about something else. You're dealing with something back home, this, that, and the third. And he used to get on my ass. He used to tell me, I don't care what you're going through, when you step on these white lines, when you step on this field in between these white lines, you turn all your attention to football. And I just can I can respect that for him, because so much stuff was overwearing on me and it affected me when it was time for me to go play football. And I couldn't be the best player I was able to be because Coach Reed made me understand you're holding that weight on you and it's not letting you be your potential. So for me, I just credit him so much because he was able to get me away from that fast.
And there was a lot of tough love too, which was cool.
For sure.
Yeah. I got a story. So this is when I knew I was the guy. So I think I come off my first All Pro year, I think. And Sean Marino went in front of me in the draft. Who else was it? Beanie Wells went in front of me. Ooh. And Donald Brown went in front of me. And this is the remember when the E60 was coming out? Everybody, you know, all the top dudes get the E60. So I'm in there, you know, talking my talk. And then she asked me about, you know, about that part. And I was like, them dudes can't touch me. He ain't that good. This and that. You see what I'm doing? All pro. Da, da, da. And I didn't think it was even that bad. I was just talking my talk, you know, because I was nice at the time, right? Man, the next week, and we on the offseason, the next week, he called me. He said, hey, man, where you at? I said, I'm in Harrisburg. He said, oh, perfect. I'm in town. Hey, come up to Philadelphia. Come talk to me. It's only an hour drive. Cool. That's what I coach, you know, because we've always hung out. I remember when he would be in L.A., and I'd be in L.A., we would talk, and I would come. He had like a little, is it a Malibu, Jack? He had that, he had a nice house on the beach. Sorry. And I would come hang out, you know, we're eating and all that, talking. Tammy's wife, everybody. So anyway, I go check him out in Philly. I'm thinking he want to give me a hug, you know, this and that, you know, all that. He said, sit down, let me talk to you. He shut the door. I'm like, man, Big Rams, what's up, you know? He said, listen, don't you ever do no interviews like that again. Don't ever talk bad about other players like that. He said, if you do that, I will bench your ass. He said that. I've never heard him really curse. I'm like, oh, he was mad at me. He was like, you know, we play this game with respect. You know what I'm saying? You could have said that you're a better player, and that's it. Don't ever disrespect him. He said, I've won more games with left talent than anybody. I started naming some of the players. I'm like, oh, he's serious. So after that, that's the last time I got too wild with the media, you know, other than when Chip came, then I showed back up. And he's gone back at it. But other than that, that was the only time he ever got crazy with me.
Those are great stories. And, you know, it's interesting because we have Nick Sirianni here in Philly, and we see the coaches that connect with
Nick.
You guys as players. And to me, that was what I always saw with Chip, that he didn't have that human touch, just like being a human being with his players. And is that the way the NFL is now? Because back in the day, you had coaches that would, it was their way or the highway. They would yell at people. But is it more of a relationship now?
Yeah,
I would say so. Like Chip was scary though, you know, any type of dude, man. Deshaun might come in there and do something, or I might do something. Instead of him checking me like Coach Reed would, he would have people do it for him, the assistant coaches. So yeah, I never respected guys like that. The guys that get respected, like guys like Mike Tomlin, right? Who can cuss you out but also give you hugs and respect you. Andy Reid, right? You could just start naming dudes. Sean McVay's. When you start getting to the guys like a Chip Kelly, right? It's one way or the highway. Bruce Arians was another great coach I played for that was really great, great personality, right? Get on you. I watched him get on Tom Brady, but also giving love to Tom Brady. But dudes like Belichick, people hate to say it, but it's the truth. Most of the guys I know that play on that Patriots team, they love playing for Bill. And then soon Tom left, you can see it. I don't want to go play for the Patriots unless they overpay like they've been doing. But when they was running the show, you wanted to win, you wanted to play with him, but you don't want to play for a coach that can't understand you, can't relate to you, right? And that's Bill Belichick. That's why he ran himself out of the league, because he overrated as the coach, for real. And then you can't relate? Why we need you?
Yeah. Yeah. How about you, Deshaun?
I mean, honestly, I don't want to speak too much on this topic because the next podcast we got, we're gonna do a whole episode on the Chip Kelly era. So...
We are doing that.
I don't want to spill too much of the beans, but definitely I feel like, yeah, you know, a lot of coaches in the past that I played with, that I had relationships with all, you know, it was like very personable. I mean, when you're a star and when you're one of the guys, you have the relationships where you can go talk to the coach, where you can go pull up on them, call them if it's an issue. Yo, coach, I just got into some on 95, I-95, you know what I'm saying? Like, yo, it's just whatever. But, you know, certain coaches, you ain't got that, you know, able. So, I mean, Yeah, I mean, my personal relationships with all my coaches, besides, you know, yeah, we'll speak more on that coming well, soon.
You guys are professional podcasters.
John, real quick, though, dog.
Great tease, by the way. You're professional podcasters, man. That is a great tease for the 2510 show.
Hey, I'm telling you, hey, John, this next one we finna go?
Nah.
It might shatter, bro. I'm telling you, it's going to be.
Hey, John, real quick, though, before we get off here. Look, when Chip Kelly, though, real talk, though, when he decided to get rid of DeSean Jackson, right, then he get rid of me and Vic, and then didn't sign Macklin back, was you like, what's going on?
I got to be honest with you. I always wondered, honestly, what Jeff Lurie thought about all that, because he loved you guys. And so he was letting Chip run the show, and then it ended.
I don't want to talk, but I'm gone, man. Y'all, we done with it. Y'all get me riled up, John. I'm gone, man. Appreciate it, bro.
Hey, what was that confetti and everything? That was hot.
Hey, we got
you guys. He's a real podcast.
We do.
We got some stuff coming for you, man. John, appreciate your time, man.
Hey, you're going to get Kelsey ratings. You're going to get New Heights Kelsey ratings with that.
Nah, for sure, man.
You ain't lying. Hey, well, listen, I want to thank you guys because you guys are two of the most electrifying athletes to ever play in Philly. I was going to have one more question about if Michael Vick is the greatest athlete you've ever seen. But if you got to go, you got to go.
Wait, in person?
Ever, like watching on TV. And you hear all these people that say, I grew up watching him, and then you see him in person, his athleticism, his ability.
McCoy handled that one. I got to hit it. Thanks, John.
2510 show. Thank you. Thank you, DeSean. You can answer that, LeSean, if you want.
Is he the greatest athlete ever seen?
So, yeah. So, the people watch from afar on TV, but the things he's able to do, his speed, but also the that ball he threw.
I would say this about Vic. I was such a big fan of Vic, man. When he came to the Eagles, I was like, damn, this is like my idol right here. So I was just a big fan of Vic. I won't say he's the greatest athlete to ever played against or played with.
I mean, so many dudes like
Jason Peters, bro. This might not even sound, I guess, sexy because he's a chubby lineman, but bro, other than the quarterbacks, he's the best player I've ever played with. Strong, fast, quick, can run. He played tight end, bro.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying? He was different. And I think that's the guy I play with. So I would go with him first. And people always ask me, like, who's a better athlete out of Michael Vick and Lamar Jackson, right? I think Lamar Jackson's a better athlete.
Huh.
I think Mike threw the ball better. Bigger arm with less effort, the flick of the wrist.
Yeah.
Sideline to sideline passes, right? Zip balls. Vick is probably a better passer. But as far as just a straight runner athlete, I think I would go Lamar Jackson by a nice margin.
That's a good breakdown there. How about Jason Kelce as he retired? Blocking for you on screens, everything, man. His athleticism.
Before I leave, I'll give one more story about Kelce. So I'm older than Kelce, right? So Andy Reid, we drafted him. We had a center named Jamal Jackson.
Oh, yeah.
Played for a long time, right?
Delaware State, right?
Yeah, Delaware State. They're good. It's really good.
Yeah.
But that's where we're going. We shifting with the Kelce. I'm like, coach, this dude little, man. You think he can block in the league? I mean, you know what I'm saying? I'm the running back. What are we doing? He said, just give him time. He's young. Give him time. I said, all right, cool, coach. Go back. As the camp went on, I remember going to coach like, yo, the center we got, he's the real effing deal. He's tough. He's super smart. And he's the best thing about him, he's super athletic. You talking about pulling a center, right?
Yeah.
All the way around. You talk about reaching blocks? That's Jason Kelce. So when you ask me, like, some of the best players, Kelce is for sure up there, bro. And I've seen it happen. A lot of people they jumped on the wave because the speech he did and, like, he's been playing for a long time. They don't really know how good he really is. I played with him. I know how good he is. He's one of the best players I've ever played with.
And he learned how to adjust when he's getting beaten up a little bit, right? Like, it's amazing. Him and Jeff Stoutland, how...
Another one, really good coach.
Yeah.
When we got him, though, we had Juan Castillo was a really good coach. A lot of credit to him. But when Stoutland came, he simplified it super easy. Like, oh, that's what you want to do? Right? And I think one thing with Kelce, he's so smart that I'm smart like that, too. With the football, I could just get it, and we will always click. So if he want to make a quick adjustment for the running backs, I could understand. I would tell the boys, like, what's this was going on. But Kelce, man, him retiring, though, I don't think people know how big of a impact it's going to do to the – I don't know, because he's he takes the pressure off the quarterback.
Yeah.
To know everything. You get what I'm saying?
So the physicality you talked about is athleticism, but it is understanding everybody's blocking on the offensive line and everybody else on offense. Like that mental part, can they pick that up?
That's the question I'm trying to ask, you know. So Well, right, I gotta run, John. I'll let you, LeSean, man.
Great catching up with you. Congrats on all you're doing in Harrisburg, by the way. That is awesome.
Oh, we coming to Philly next, though. We coming to Philly next. We're gonna be building there too.
I love it. And thank you much. And everybody listen to the 2510 show, and the Chip Kelly episode is gonna break some records. Wow.
Be surprised. Oh, I'm so flagrant.